1. A bottlenose dolphin leaped majestically out of the water, crystal droplets raining down around it in the morning sun. It splashed as it landed, then appeared almost to fly as it raced around the lagoon, thrusting itself out of the water with the power of its fins and flukes, all the while staring straight at Laura Mayhew. The dolphin emitted a chattering sound, something delightfully akin to laughter. Laura smiled at the sight and sound of the dolphin, a beautiful female estimated to be about 10 years old, and named Coco. Rick Laramie, the head dolphin trainer, had told Laura on an earlier visit that Coco was performing for her and speaking to her simply because she had chosen to, that she decided she liked Laura. That was fine with Laura. She liked Coco, too, and was fascinated by her. Coco was one of the facility's rescue dolphins. She'd been attacked by a shark and been near death when she was brought to sea life. Now it seemed she knew she owed her life to the facility. She was as friendly as a family pet. Today, Rick was taking her for her first dolphin swim and training experience, and she was glad it was going to be with Coco. Rick hadn't shown up yet, but Laura knew she was early. She was delighted just to be there, enjoying the sunlight beneath a beautiful blue summer sky, feeling the warmth of the day heat her skin. No one at the facility was up yet, in fact. It was just after 6:30. In another half hour, the cooks and cashiers who ran the small cafe would arrive, and a few minutes after that, the rest of the staff would come wandering in. The facility opened to the public for 7 hours each day, but the crux of the work here was research and education, not entertainment. They didn't study dolphin disease and physiology, or perform necropsies or anything like that. They focused on training, learning more about dolphin habits and intelligence with each passing season. Which, of course, was expensive. And why Grady Miller, one of the three founders of the Sea Life Center, had decided that, like other sea mammal research facilities, they would educate the public on dolphins, arranging for playtimes, dolphin swims, and other trainer-conducted interactions. While Rick was the head trainer here, Grady was managing director. The facility had been a non-profit research institute for years, and Grady was loved and respected by the dolphins, as well as all of his co-workers. She'd seen him in the water with the dolphins. They had all rushed to him like giant wet puppies, eager to greet him, eager to have him stroke them along their backs and fins, eager for his kind words. He'd purchased the property and the docks from the previous owners, filmmakers who'd trained dolphins to perform for the camera, and continued working with the dolphins they'd left behind, simply loving and being fascinated by the creatures. That had been almost 30 years ago. He'd started with two partners. Willem Rodriguez had provided financing, and Peg Walton worked with him day to day. Peg had passed away a few years ago, and now Grady essentially ran it on his own. The facility was now far larger than when it had been founded, and it was thriving, with its research featured in the most influential scientific publications. They were supported by people from around the world, rich and poor alike. Their contributors included people who adopted a dolphin for a small donation, and sustainers who, in return for their substantial support, were allowed to see some of the research as it was being conducted and were invited to attend a picnic-style fete each year, as well as being welcomed to various small meetings where the center's newest findings were presented. There was, in fact, a dinner planned for that evening. It would be Laura's first chance to attend such a special occasion, because there weren't many of them, and as a new employee, she was lucky to find one happening so soon after she was hired. At Sea Life, every contributor was appreciated, and with non-profit enterprises continually reliant on the philanthropy of others, it was important to always let all their contributors know how much they were valued. And tonight, a few of their major supporters would be on hand. Laura didn't know much about Grant Blackwood of Eden Industries or Eli Taggerly of Taggerly Pharmaceuticals. She did know that Mason Martinez, CEO of Good Health Miami, had a nationwide reputation for his healthful lifestyle clinics and the preventive medicine practice there. She was also familiar with Sonia Larson of Sonia Fashions. In fact, she owned a number of Sonia's pieces, trendy business fashions that didn't cost an arm and a leg. She was anxious to meet the woman, along with all the others, of course. Laura's job tonight was to seat everyone and see that they were happy with the food and everyone had a good time, while the trainers and scientists talked about their research.